And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a regular basis. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's interview episode, I am very pleased to have the lovely Anna Wood here with me on the show. Anna is the founder of Try Love On Coaching, where she invites participants to experience life from the perspective of the consciousness of love. Anna has also been known to act as a galactic channel to bring through messages of unity and love from the multidimensional beings known as the Arcturians. Hello, Anna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you. We were introduced many months ago through a mutual friend, and here we are actually connecting on the show. And I'm very excited to dig in, and I'll just jump right in and start where I always start. You're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over and says, "What's your passion? You've got 10 floors to answer. What do you say?"
The classic elevator speech.
Yes, exactly.
Well, first I would take a moment to just tune in to what's going to come through. So I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is my passion is living through the heart, living through the awareness of the inherent love that resides within us and around us, and to really together come into being able to see that and being able to experience that moment by moment and open up into greater and greater experience of that together, to share authentically with one another and to have fun doing it.
I like this. Definitely. You know, I think it's so wonderful how I asked the question. I think you're the first person that says, let me take a moment and tune in and really get to sort of the source of, you know, my intention, my thoughts in regards to this. And it's very nice. So,
yeah.
And of course, the answer reflects that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so funny how often we're kind of socialize to have the answer right away and to kind of maybe have something ready and prepared. And I was always kind of like, cause I've, you know, trained as a life coach and everything. And there's always the elevator speech of like, what do you do? And what are you about? And, I always felt like, I don't know. I think my elevator speech is just to tune in that moment and speak to that individual.
You know what? I've got to give props in this moment to just thinking how I've made this part of my intro here, asking people what their passion is. And the first person that ever asked me that, and I liked it so much, and this is going back several years ago, our mutual friend, Chris Ponzi. So Chris, thank you for leading to the elevator question, which now has come full circle to you, Anna. So yeah, it just occurred to me. Hold on. I picked that up originally from Chris, and I thought it was like such a nice, you know, instead of what do you do? You know, of course, we live in the LA area, right? What do you do? What do you drive? What do you, you know, it's so much of that. And of course, it's changing, thank goodness. But there's so much of that sort of energy. So when I first met Chris years ago and he sort of asked that question, I thought it was such a lovely, nice question. It's always stuck with me ever since. And yeah, now it's a part of the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
So Anna, tell us a little bit about your background. We've touched a little bit on some of the really cool, unique things that you've done there in the intro, and we'll dig into that further. But how did you get here? What is your background?
How did I get to where?
How did you get to the spot you're at now, talking to me about consciousness and to be a trained, you know, coach, try love on? Like, what, were you raised by hippies on a commune? Were you, like me, raised by very conservative Christian family that you had to find a way to a different path? Like, what's your story a little bit? You don't have to go into everything.
Now I'm like, oh, I want to know about you and your upbringing. Maybe we can talk about it later.
Well, oh, man. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
I grew up, I was born in the Bay Area at Stanford Hospital. And then I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, in a suburb of Cleveland. And then I moved to Madison, Wisconsin for high school. And I was not raised with any particular kind of religion in terms of, you know, where I was told to believe in certain things or really kind of, sorry, I got distracted. Someone was kind of like looking in the window.
No, you got a peeping Tom? Bring Tom in. No problem.
Well, I live in a house in Santa Monica where we have a studio. And so there's all kinds of amazing events happening here all the time. And there's a Mayan, I think it's Mayan. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's something having to do with the Mayan calendar tonight that is happening. Wow. So people are kind of,
this is why I want to move into the area where you're at, because I'm about 45 minutes from there and I get invites to all these amazing events all the time. And I'm like, with traffic, that'll take me, you know, 2 hours of driving tonight at least. And so, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Yes, there is.
So back to the question of my upbringing. Yeah. My parents were, they really loved religion in terms of community. That's kind of the value that they saw in religion. So they tried to kind of take me and my two older brothers to church. And I really loved church. I even loved going to Catholic church with my friend, my best friend. And I would kind of ask why we couldn't be Catholic, because I just thought it was so nice to go to church. But yeah, so we would go to Unitarian church. And my brothers actually ended up not wanting, like, they were really against church, and they ended up telling my parents that they showed them gay porn in Sunday school.
So they
convinced them that we should not go to church because they showed them like an educational video about homosexuality.
Oh my gosh. This is your brother's idea to get out of going to church?
Exactly. It worked.
Worked. I got to meet him. That sounds like something I would have done.
Yeah. So I grew up, I remember really liking church, but I didn't grow up with any particular beliefs. And I really credit my parents with, you know, kind of supporting me in terms of thinking for myself and, you know, following what I believed to the best of their ability. You know, I think every parent kind of infuses their children with their own beliefs and ways of seeing the world. So, but I really feel like they did an incredible job with that. But my brothers had a lot of influence on me, and so did my parents, in the sense that everyone was very, very intellectual and very mental, or like mental based. Mm-hmm. And so then as we got older, I would listen to my two older brothers talk a lot about God and kind of philosophy. And I really feel like I took on a lot of views about, you know, God and religion that didn't truly resonate with me, but I just kind of, my experience was that I didn't feel like I kind of had the space to form my own views in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of, agnostic, but with a leaning towards being a little bit against, you know, the idea of God. Mm-hmm. And so particularly like the Christian, you know, view of God. And so, but I was really, when I was in college, I went to Emory University in Atlanta, and I took a course on Vedanta, which is like the ancient root of Hinduism and Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that first class that I took. I had this Indian professor, and she would talk about, you know, Brahma, and she'd be like, omnipresent, omnipotent. And I'll never forget her saying those words. But something really shifted inside of me during that class. It's like, it's like my mind let go of the idea of what God was. And I opened up to really have an experience inside of myself of resonating with what she was talking about. And it was kind of like, you know, something that reached me in my heart, in spite of, you know, whatever was going on the mental level. So that really inspired me. And I was on track to become a psychiatrist because I just knew ever since I was, you know, pretty young that I wanted to help people be happy. And I didn't really know how, but I found journals of mine from when I was like in middle school, you know, like writing about happiness. And so, so I was kind of, you know, on the track of psychiatry because I was raised to, my dad's a doctor as well. I was kind of raised with the idea that I should be a professional. And, you know, I was actually told by him that was really the only way to make a living in the economy at the time, to be a doctor. So I was like, okay, I'll be a psychiatrist.
There's only one thing you can do to survive.
I know. And so, you know, I was like, okay, I like science. I'll be a psychiatrist. But once I learned, you know, once I kind of tapped into this realm of spiritual, I guess it was kind of spiritual thinking, spiritual thought. That was really where I realized that I had a pull, like an authentic pull. And so I would kind of squeeze in as much of that as I could into my packed, you know, pre-med schedule. And I actually, my university had a partnership with the Dalai Lama where they had a study abroad program for 6 months in Dharamsala, India. And so I knew it was like one of the first times in my life where I felt just a clear, clear calling of like, I'm going to be there. Like, I don't care what my schedule is like or what, you know, nothing can stop me from doing this. And so I went and I lived there in a Tibetan school, and it was really eye-opening and kind of ego-shattering in a lot of ways, in a lot of the ways that just going to India is, like just discomfort and, you know, just being, I was living with a nun and just like in very basic kind of conditions.
How long were you there?
That time I was there for 6 months.
Okay.
I then went back later for a longer time. But so yeah, I was there, and in that town, that's where the Dalai Lama is and the kind of capital of the Tibetan exile community. I don't know. Are you familiar with kind of the Tibetan political situation at all?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. So just, you know, in case any of the listeners aren't, basically, to not, you know, infuse any opinions or biases around it. There are a lot of Tibetans who are leaving their homeland for political reasons having to do with the Chinese government. And so there's a big settlement there. So it's kind of half Indian, half Tibetan. And I was there really learning about Tibetan culture, religion, language, and also Tibetan medicine. And it was really an experience where I was, it's like I knew that I was learning about something important to me, but it was all still very intellectual, very mental level. And so I came back after that was done, finished school. I was working in a lab studying meditation and the effects of meditation. And it's kind of like I was trying to squeeze myself and squeeze my interests into this path that was kind of made for me. And I didn't really realize that at the time.
Right.
You know,
you're like, I'm really interested in meditation and these things. So how do I bring it into the lab?
Yeah. So I was like, this is perfect, you know, because I'm going to be a psychiatrist. But I never really felt like I made the choice to be a psychiatrist. And so I was trying to kind of squeeze it in, but I would be sitting in these meetings talking about depression and talking about all of these things that I think people often, it's like we're socialized to really trust in like science and to really trust in like, you know, if something's proven by research, then who would ever argue with that? And it was really right. interesting and kind of a crazy experience to be sitting in these meetings and just realize that like nobody knows what depression is. And we're just kind right. of making it up with good intention. And it's really a mystery. And it's kind of, I felt like it's more authentic to speak about it as a mystery and to speak about it as something where we're not pretending to know and have and be the authority on what this is, and just to, you know, let people know like how this kind of research works. So I had a lot of questions and things that didn't seem productive to the process that they were doing, I guess. And so I just felt very much, I think it was the first time in my life where I just felt like my heart was totally shut down. Like I felt really just this feeling of like,
off the path,
off track
that you
yeah.
should be in. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, of course that's an illusion in a grander sense, but in another sense, it can, right. it's a source of guidance. And
sure.
so I was studying to take the I had taken the MCATs and I was, you know, in the process of applying to medical schools. And it was just like, my heart was crying out to go to India, to go back. And that was really scary because I had no idea what would come of that. You know, it's like, well, what am I going to do with my life? What will people think? You know, all of this stuff, all of these external referenced pressures and thoughts. And, you know, I couldn't imagine what could possibly come of it. And so to really take that step of listening to my heart and honoring what was happening, like the intelligence of my heart, in spite of what my head was saying, I think that was one of the pivotal points in my life. And that's why that's what I'm, you know, as I've learned to do that and how to honor the intelligence of our hearts, which really is yeah. where divine intelligence speaks to us, you know, the grander plan of what we can't necessarily see in that moment. And right. we can't necessarily understand or grasp or anticipate what could happen. It's like, that's where that wisdom comes through. And if we have the courage to honor that, then we start to live in a whole other way. And that's really yep. what I'm passionate about, assisting people in living where they're really led through the heart. And a lot of times what I see is that that it can become kind of a thing where it's like all heart and no head. It's interesting that your podcast is right. called Positive Head because we're talking about that.
Right. No, actually, this is something that right after I launched Positive Head, I did my first ayahuasca journey. And my good friend who has been leading journeys forever, I remember him talking about the heart and how important it was to move into the heart. And I had this great heartfelt experience moving out of my head. And I was like, oh, no, I've gotten the name all wrong.
I can appreciate
But it's,
that.
It really does take a mix. It's like, yeah. you know, yes, heart needs to lead, right? And we right. get so caught in our head and certainly in a negative mindset. So it all's like part of the you know, tapestry that is our lives. But I absolutely agree with you. Like heart is like should be steering the ship.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like we can choose, right? It's really about our intention. And so what I think is really incredible is that, you know, it's not that it's better to lead from our heart. It's not that we need to or should or whatever. It's like, what is the experience like when we do? And yeah. to me, like when the vision of Tri Levon came through and even the name, I was like, oh, wow. What this is an invitation to try what is it like when I live through my heart and see, because we don't mm-hmm. have to, you know, mm-hmm. but I doubt that anyone who experiences it would ever, you know, willingly want to go back.
And right. kind of, right.
You know, so, I mean, it speaks for itself. And I think that that's really, I love that, because what I see is that we're moving into a time on Earth now where there's this incredible shift happening. And it's like, it's about empowerment. It's about all of us empowered to make our own choices and to not be externally referenced in terms of like how we should be, or how, yeah, you know, listening to some guru or whatever, in terms of like, as an authority figure, as a guide, as a teacher, as someone who can offer experience. Yes. But as an authority figure, I really see that the plant, it's like, we're not in that anymore. I agree fully. Yeah.
I agree fully. It's all, the answers are within you. It's like, you can look to someone outside of yourself. We can talk about all kinds of things. I've certainly have been, you know, humbled by, you know, inspiring someone or sort of leading the horse to water, so to speak. But at the end of the day, all I can do, all you can do, all any of us out here doing this sort of work can do is try and, you know, I always say I'm just a reminder. All I can do is tell someone what their soul already knows that maybe perhaps they have amnesia about or have forgotten. And, you know, so the whole guru thing, I know it's kind of a hot topic too, you know, in the spiritual community. You know, because you have some people really swear by that approach. And for me, it doesn't resonate that much. But I guess, you know, there are arguments as to, well, they're, you know, for some people that, you know, and even perhaps soul contracts where these beings are meant to be in sort of the very, you know, all encompassing teacher role and student role. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, of course. I mean, and that's another thing is, when we really kind of reside in the place of seeing divine perfection, it's like everything's happening perfectly and for a reason. Yeah. And it's easy to kind of say that or to get that intellectually, but to really like live in the experience of that is another thing. So that's another, you know, kind of aspect of what I see my work as, you know, of really like, yeah, I can get that intellectually. Maybe some people don't agree with it intellectually, but how do I actually experience that? Because it's a different thing when it's conceptual, you know?
Right.
And to really live in the acceptance and of what is. And the way I see that is that a great place to start is within, because everything happening outside, it's like however we're relating to what's happening outside of us or seeing outside of us, you know, some kind of dynamic, a student teacher authority kind of dynamic, perhaps, if that's, you know, the nature of that. It's like, how are we relating to that dynamic within ourselves? Does it exist within ourselves?
Right.
And are we making that
always
wrong?
A reflection? It's always a reflection on some level, right?
Exactly. So I think as we start to really accept and embrace that everything that's happening inside of us is perfect, then we start to experience that in the world. And we really start to trust the intelligence that's kind of animating everything and making things how they are.
Right. Right. So tell us a little bit about your work with Try Love On. What exactly is going on there? I love the whole idea of, you know, inviting participants to experience life from, you know, the perspective and consciousness of love. That's just, I mean, what a great premise.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a vision that is multifaceted and is evolving and kind of, you know, adjusts rapidly. And it's really at the moment focused around coaching and one-on-one coaching. So at the vision is that it will involve multiple coaches. I'm really passionate about supporting other coaches because I see so much opportunity for that. Like, I want people to be able to graduate coaching programs and them, you know, maybe not everyone who has the gift of being a coach has the gift of being an entrepreneur. So how can somebody enter that arena and know that they're going to, you know, be employed and have an income?
I really
do see that happening because it's just like what is happening in the world, so much opportunity for it. And so at that moment, it's like, it's me coaching and me, mm-hmm. me just working with the clients, that I've been working with for a while and mm-hmm. developing the kind of programs that, and kind of tools and, you know, things that are helpful for them and really, mm-hmm. you know, drawing upon their feedback, drawing upon my own inner guidance, drawing upon my experience and everything that I've learned to put together. Right now there's one program that I'm offering that's pretty much, you know, like the Trilovon program that really takes mm-hmm. people on a journey that's systematic and it's cumulative. And it really takes people on a journey, into the experience of living love as a way of being, as a reality. And it's really, you know, what I've seen in terms of who's attracted to it and who it really benefits. It's like people who are inspired to live into, like, you know, maybe they'll see quotes on Instagram or they'll mm-hmm. Attend a workshop or something like that. And they are inspired to really live into this way of being, but they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Maybe they've had some kind of isolated experience and they're like, whoa, there's something really incredible going on here. And I don't know how to tap into that and I need help.
Right.
So this is really a way to, it's like, to me, the first and most powerful step in anything that we can do, including spiritual awakening, is setting our intention and being aligned with that. And so I kind of see it as, you know, allowing people to set that intention and have their entire journey ride on the energy of love and then kind of assist as that unfolds.
Beautiful. So,
yeah.
So how long have you been, have you been coaching?
I've been coaching for, I mean, I took a coach, I was trained as a coach. What year was that? 2013.
Okay.
So I was trained as a coach. I did IPEC, Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, which is an incredible coaching program. And it has a lot to do with energy. And it's kind of, I see it as kind of like spirituality masked with, you know, kind of terminology that anyone would resonate with so that you can kind of take it into different settings.
Right, right, right.
And I really appreciate that because I know that I'm kind of meant to be a bridge in a sense of, you know, reaching and resonating with people who might not necessarily be into, you know, new moon ceremonies and things like that.
Right.
They don't get like what's the point of that. So I really appreciate that. And I found that I felt like the work that I was called to do was deeper. And so I then began to, it's like right after I got trained as a coach, I was coaching, but then I began to study spiritual psychology, which is takes things to a whole, I mean, infinite other level.
You have a master's in spiritual psychology. Did I get that right?
Yeah. So
did I read that right?
Yeah.
What does that entail?
It's really, it's through University of Santa Monica here in Santa Monica. And it's,
oh, wow, cool.
It's an institution that just is spiritual psychology. And so it's not a traditional type of university. And so I did a 2-year master's and then an additional year that's focused on consciousness, health, and healing. So really, the entire thing is very experiential. It's not like academic kind of study, but there is a lot of, you know, reading and work like that, but mm-hmm. that's not the main emphasis. The main emphasis is really, you know, living in accordance with your spiritual nature and letting go of anything that isn't in alignment with that. So a lot of deep, you know, inner exploration and healing. And, yeah.
Very, very interesting. I didn't know there was a course. I'm surprised to learn that there's a course like that, you know, there. That's that in itself is inspiring, you know, just there's just so many things, you know, as you said, there's such a shift going on our planet. And it seems like, you know, so many different avenues are opening up to, you know, spirituality being more of a front and center and I guess widely accepted thing, but you do have to be very careful. Of course, as you said, there's the people who are really deep into it and, you know, the new moon ceremony versus you got to be careful not, you know, for, it seems like we're on a similar path because I feel very called. I feel like a big part of my path will be helping to bring people in who are sort of just waking up to their, you know, sort of remembrance, right? Of their, the ultimate nature of the reality, the oneness of all things, their spiritual sort of divine heritage, so to speak. And then you have the people who go really deep into stuff, which I love, love, love exploring. But, you know, you can't throw someone in the deep into the pool necessarily right off the bat, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. I love all of it. I mean, but what I've noticed in my work is like what excites me the most. Like, I mean, I hold new moon ceremonies and all kinds of things. And I love what goes on there. But what really, really, really excites me is mm-hmm. when I'm working with someone who's just like,
I know,
completely blown away because they've just experienced something that they didn't know was possible. You know,
I know, I'm with you on that. Totally. So fun.
And another thing that I'm really passionate about is, it's funny, I keep saying I'm passionate, I think, because of your opening question. So I'm continuing to answer that question.
Yeah, it's the whole podcast is answering that question. It should be.
Exactly. It's like, I think another kind of old paradigm thing is that we've allocated in the past spirituality to certain people. It's like you go and join a monastery and you go become a hippie in the woods and whatever. And it's like, that's not the time that I believe we're living in now. I believe we're living in a time where everyone's waking up to these kind of basic truths. And so, you know, people in corporate jobs, people, you know, most of the people who I work with are professionals, and it's not like, it's like their job is in alignment for them. They're not, they don't feel called to leave it and go become hippie and do all these things. It's like,
right.
But just how do they experience their truth and live from their truth and, you know, bring love into their life as it is and share that and be of service and,
right.
You know, give their gifts. So it's like, spirituality doesn't have to look any particular way. It's something that's so simple and so innate. And I think sometimes when all of these associations are there with it, it can become a disservice in a way, you know, to have some idea of what spirituality has to be like or look like, because it can lead to like a dissociation from and kind of allocating like, oh, well, those people are spiritual people. I'm not that.
So another dogma. Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
And then you get the whole spiritual narcissism, as I like to refer to it, the spiritual narcissism problem. I mean, you got to be really careful. You have people that sort of are, as you're waking up and coming online and you realize, hold on, I'm one with what created all things. I have unlimited abundance and power at my disposal. It's like there's a slippery slope there when you're getting your sea legs, so to speak. And you got to be really careful. And of course, you have people who are doing really well making fun of that. Like, what is the guy, the ultra spiritual guy, right? I'm sure you've seen those videos.
He's
right.
Here.
Yeah. So but it's a real thing. It's like, you got to be really like aware of not getting, you know, letting ego finds all kinds of places to hide. Right.
Well, you know, I totally get what you're saying and I agree. And I also, it's like, what's coming through to say is like, ego gets a bad rap. Like that's the wording that's coming through. And it's mm-hmm. like, I mean, we're human, you know, like we all have egos. We need to have egos to operate in the physical world. I mean, if we don't want to have egos, then we'll be somewhere else, not here.
But, exactly.
But
that's true.
So, you know, it's like we're on a journey and it's kind of like, it's natural for the ego to kind of hijack spirituality in some ways. And of course we're going to see that. I mean, I can
say, like,
yeah, for myself, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well I'm love. So this is how it kind of mostly manifested for me, but there are a lot of different ways. It's like when I first started to kind of live into, oh, well I'm love, then it's like my ego would try to be perfectly loving, you know? And I think that that's something that a lot of people can probably relate to who've kind of gone in this direction, is like, oh, okay. So the ego then takes the idea of love and makes it and relates to it in the same way that it's related to other things, you know, well,
right.
Okay, so I need to do that. I need to achieve that. And it becomes like a goal rather than just an uncovering of what is. And so maybe then there's patterns of perfectionism. I can say that for myself, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, it's natural. It's natural, but just having the awareness of it is really the key, and to love it and to be like, okay, like, pattern, what are you trying, like, perfectionism, what are you trying to do here? Because really, no, it's like, often ego is talked about as like this enemy,
and
I personally related to it in that way for a long time, and then at one point I was like, how is that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it needs to just be, it sort of gets overblown. It hijacks everything. It's sort of back to what we were talking about earlier, heart versus head, you know? And what happens is, with a lot of people, the ego just sort of all consuming, you know, running the show, when maybe it's meant to be more of a, you know, a partnership with the heart, and heart is even leading, and the ego is there to help you navigate the physical dimension and understand the, you know, the avatar that is you, separate from the avatar that is me. Because, you know, it's a divine dichotomy, two apparently contradictory things that both hold true from the ultimate perspective. You and I are one. That's true from one perspective. Same consciousness that animates me animates you, and we're talking to ourselves, right? And from another perspective, you are Anna Wood, I'm Brandon Beecham. We're two separate beings, and that is true as well. So it is a very necessary tool to navigate the separateness, right? And it just needs to be put in its proper context and place, I feel, you know, from my perspective. So yeah, I think you're right on with that.
I so resonate with your perspective.
Yay. What do you know? I'm glad that we do. I'm glad that
surprise.
We see things the same. I know. What a shocker. So this really intrigues me. So first we were connected through our friend Chris. Months go by. I think we ended up being friends on social media, Facebook or something. And then I see you post a video about Arcturians and you channeling these multidimensional beings called Arcturians. Now, I hadn't really heard of Arcturians until a few months prior to that. A friend of mine, he had brought someone else over to the house who's now a friend, had a little get together at my house. And this person's like talking to me and my partner at the time, Anna, as well. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, something about what we were doing. He goes, well, yeah, well, of course you feel this way. You're actually Pleiadian talking to Anna, and you're Arcturian. And I'm like, what's Arcturian? You know, so I look it up. And so then very shortly after, I see, you know, posting about your, you know, this video where you are actually communicating with these beings. That is fascinating to me. And especially since I've been called one. What is going on with that?
I've been called on.
I've been accused of being this thing. Hopefully it's really good. I have no idea.
Hopefully it's really good. What was the question again? Sorry.
Who are the Arcturians? And who tell me about Arcturians? Communicating with them. Yeah.
Well, you know, I learn about who they are as I connect with them, and they connect with me. I'm not really one to, you know, go out and research these kinds of things. I feel like everyone has their own experiences, and there's a lot of things that are said about it. And so sometimes I'm guided to read other people's experiences, and sometimes I'm not. But I can say from my own experience that they are beings from elsewhere in the universe who are active right now in what's happening on the planet, on this planet. And I personally don't experience them as, you know, little people who come to the planet. Some people do.
Okay.
And I,
so not extraterrestrial necessarily from your perspective, but more like multidimensional.
Well, it's kind of it's interesting because the interview that you saw, it's called Interview with Extra Dimensionals instead of Extraterrestrials. And it's kind of like, in a sense, it's both. But when you start to get into other dimensions, it's like space and time differ. So it's like there can be some tie to a particular planet or area, but it's not necessarily in the same way that we might say that we're from Earth, you know, because this is a third dimensional kind of experience that we're having as humans. And so, you know, for example, as I was saying with the Arcturians, it's like my connections with them, I experience, and from what I hear of other people's experience, that they exist multidimensionally. And so sometimes they're interacting closer to a physical form. So some people experience, you know, seeing them and as if they're like physical beings, you know, in the space that they're in. I personally experience a connection with Arcturian energy that is what's been transmitted to me through this energy is that it's from the 11th dimension. And and I didn't know what dimensions, I still don't know, you know, my human mind doesn't know how to explain dimensions. But when I first connected with them, somebody asked me, what dimension are they from? And before I could say, I don't know, I said 11th.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. Because, you know, they were saying it. So,
I am a life path number 11. So maybe, maybe there's some truth to the Arcturian heritage.
Yeah. Well, I can say that I definitely do sense that in you as well.
Interesting.
It's like there are times when I kind of serve as a connector with that energy and kind of a mirror for others who carry that energy or who are connected to it or, you know, however you want to put it. There are times when I kind of serve as a mirror for them to, activate in terms of that energy. And so oftentimes I'm aware of when people do, when there is like a kind of something wanting to activate or awaken in somebody and when there's resonance with kind of Arcturian frequencies. And I do feel that with you.
Very interesting. Is that something that you feel very often? Is it how often do you sort of get into this state and have these sorts of experiences, these connectivity experiences?
How often, you know, right now, I would say in the last few months, it hasn't happened very much because it kind of hasn't been my calling to be focused on it. It's kind of like it comes in and out. And that's why you had asked me before the interview, do you think we can do some channeling during the interview? And I was like, I really have no idea. There are moments when I'm sitting with somebody and this energy does come through and I kind of go into a trance state spontaneously because something is meant to happen there. But it really is very spontaneous and it kind of comes there. Sometimes there'll be periods where the energy is, you know, coming through me more and then maybe I'll have more of these interactions. And then there's other times where I'm meant to kind of focus my own personal energy and orientation in other ways. And I also will say that I experience connection with other types of beings as well. So sometimes I'll experience more of a connection with the Pleiadians, for example. And that's kind of what where I'm at right now, actually. I do feel that I'm particularly resonant with Arcturian energy and that it's kind of like I feel called more so than like with Pleiadian energy. It's kind of like, yeah, that's there. And I experience a lot of inner teachings and healings with that energy and connections with others with it. But with Arcturian, I feel more like, I guess a sense of like leadership is what it feels like, where it's kind of like I'm more positioned to receive that energy and to let people know about it because it feels like there's a lot of souls who are kind of waiting for that mirror, you know?
Fascinating.
So, I guess I kind of have, is it okay for me to ask you a question?
You can ask, yeah, of course.
Okay.
No.
I mean, so I'm curious, you know, having said all of that, like, what does it mean to you? Like for somebody to say, you know, or for multiple people to say, it feels to me like you have resonance with this energy or you carry this energy or connection within you. Like, what is that? How does that land for you? And what does it mean to you?
Well, you know, great question, by the way. I'm very, obviously very, very open. So I don't, one thing I until I've had an experience, I don't say, well, yeah, this is true or this isn't true or this is a, like, I would never go say I'm Arcturian because someone told me that. Now, if I had some kind of experience that was very impactful and meaningful, like you've had, where it's like, yes, I this has been shown to me, because I have had experiences where, you know, some, you know, magical experiences, let's say, or experiences that were sort of beyond, you know, paranormal experiences, those sorts of things. And I'll talk freely about them. In this case, I'm extremely open. I even talk about it, for example, on the daily. I do one interview each week. I don't know if you know this or not. And then four daily shows where it's me and my co-host. And so five episodes a week. And on those four where it's not a non-interview setting, I'll share clips of different speakers and things and that I really love. And Esther Hicks, Abraham is, you know, who channels Abraham, I love. And I'll say, I don't know exactly, you know, if she is, if she isn't, or I'll reference my favorite book of all time, Conversations with God. He's having this conversation with God. Does it matter to me? Because at one level, it's all one anyway. So all I care about is what is the information that's coming through. And I know with Abraham, it is like so spot on and so inspired and so, you know, amazing. So I have no reason to doubt that that's happening, right? I've certainly had some incredible experiences. I haven't had a channeling experience per se, but many others that were on equal ground, I guess. So when I hear that, when I heard this from this individual, and I'd seen this individual do some really interesting things as far as energy and healing work, that was really interesting to observe. And, you know, and then what I'm sort of picking up from this person in my interaction, I just met them, you know, that evening. But it was very intriguing to me to hear that. It's like, oh, I'm open as I can be. I'm not going to go around once again and say, I have proof now this person told me, but I'm interested. So of course, not having any other sort of experience, other than just researching a little bit after that, who is this? What are the Arcturians? What are they about? And, I liked what the little bit, you know, I spent 5 minutes or so, you know, and this is going back a year or so ago, kind of looking it up and learning what I could. But so that's, hopefully that wasn't too long a roundabout of an answer. I'm very, very open. I think it's all very fascinating. I think we all have rich soul history beyond our normal waking consciousness and memory. I think, you know, going into past lives on this planet or simultaneously, right? There is no time, then some part of the soul that, you know, composite soul that I believe myself to be is somehow very involved with dark terrain energy. Sure, I'm very open, you know. I just can't say anything for matter of fact unless it's from my own very personal, you know, sort of experience. And I haven't had that. So
beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Because, you know, that's actually a question that I like to address anyway. I recently interviewed Sheila Gillette, who is a well-known, you know, 40 years channeling 12 angelic beings that collectively are known as Theo. Same sort of thing. The information is so high vibration, so good, so profound. It's like, you know, it's almost becomes... secondary, whether or not where it's coming from, you know, what is the information, but, and there certainly, would it be any stranger for someone to channel, an entity or energy from elsewhere than it is that you and I are sitting here talking right now? Not really. If you think about it, like this reality, just because we've gotten used to it, it seems like, you know, ho-hum or whatever. It's pretty incredible. Like, how did we get here? What are we doing? Where are we? We're on a giant rock hurtling through infinite expanse, you know, at this tremendous speed. No one knows where we come from or where we're going, really. And we're all trying to figure it out. So let's not pretend like that's not totally possible to especially when you start cleaning out your own vibration and taking out the trash, so to speak, and really opening yourself up. Time and time again, I've just seen it firsthand where I actually had a experience that I share, I think in my second podcast, where someone started It's one of my most incredible stories, and I won't go into it now for brevity's sake, but it was such a magical experience where this girl started channeling a song. My ex-partner, Anna, had been singing for months, and we ran back in, and the girl's in trance mode singing the same exact song she'd been singing for months. So then this other guy starts like convulsing and channeling to me for like two. It was wild. It was at Lightning in a Bottle Festival a few years ago. And so I've had firsthand experience with someone sort of going into, you know, this sort of channel state and bringing through very specific messages to me. And I've just seen it all enough firsthand to know that it's well within the realm of possibility. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my very long winded answer to your question. Sorry.
No, I love that. I like hearing the full answer.
Well, good. I'm glad you do, because I usually have a lot to say, sometimes maybe too much, but that's okay. That's the beauty of a podcast. You can turn it off.
I also, it's like, I find so often that someone will ask me a question. I've probably done this with maybe every question you've asked, but it's like someone will ask me a question. I just start saying stuff and I can't even remember what I'm supposed to be answered.
Me too.
Like, I'm just talking.
So many thoughts pop up and it's like, oh, get on this. Oh, follow this lead. Oh, follow this. Follow this. Next thing I know, I've been talking like super fast for 20 minutes. And yeah.
Very long conversations.
That's why I really appreciate someone like yourself who's, you know, very like, I love how at the beginning, you're like, oh, let me take a breath and really think about, you know, how to answer. And you've got this very calm energy about you, you know, calm, cool, and collected. And so I always really admire that, because I oftentimes have trouble keeping my energy like on level. And especially if I get excited, we're talking about stuff like channeling Arcturians. I'm going to get excited. Like, I'm an excitable person.
I can feel, so. I can see you kind of like bubbling, you know? Like.
I am a little bit bubbly, yeah. It could be worse, though. I could be really bored by you. So that's...
Well, hey, you know, if there's any issue with it, that's in the eye of the beholder. So I don't have any issue.
Exactly. Put it right back at me. So... So, yeah, you have a really interesting story, okay? So you're saying the channeling thing, it just kind of comes spontaneously. So I'm not going to, like, try and force you to bring through the Arcturians or anything. But I know that you have a really interesting story that you shared a little bit in that video you referenced, that, and of course, I always ask for a story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. And I think that story would be a really cool one to share if you're
okay,
up for it.
Awesome. And first, I also want to say something. Is it cool if I just add something in before that?
You can
that?
Say anything you want. This is your show. I just work here.
Cool. Well, I do want to share that, you know, my guidance with the Arcturians, since I kind of did that interview, and lots of people have watched it and a lot of people have contacted me, asking for me to do kind of personalized channelings for them and all of that. And what I've noticed with the Arcturians, or the specific Arcturians that I'm in communication with, or came through in that interview, it's like, that's not really what they're about. They're about empowerment. They're about people realizing that if there is a resonance with this energy and there's a true sincere calling, like within somebody's heart, to receive guidance and information, that's a relationship that they have access to directly. And so my role is more to assist people in opening up to that, and to, you know, do sessions with people where it's like assisting them in experiencing that connection, bringing through their own information. And that's not to say that, you know, channeling of specific information for others isn't valuable, or that there's anything wrong with that. Not at all. I mean, I feel right. Like that's totally the purpose of a lot of channeling. That's totally what a lot of beings are kind of in service to do. And it's so incredibly valuable, you know, in certain moments. And that's really not what I'm kind of inwardly encouraged to do. So I just wanted to share that message that as I share the story of, you know, my own kind of activation, I just want to share that with anyone who feels really like in their heart moved by, you know, my experience and what I share. It's like, know that it's because it lives within you.
Right.
You know? And so it's not like, you know, I'm here to help and assist in connecting with that, but it's not like it's something that's coming through me exclusively, you know? So,
right.
So yeah, basically, how shall I, it's kind of funny to tell a story when I know that you've already told the story.
Right. Well, think of thousands of listeners that haven't.
Right. So Sedona, right? I don't know who's heard of Sedona or not, but Sedona is a place in northern Arizona, kind of near the Grand Canyon, where there's a lot of activity that goes on spiritually. The land is very powerful. There's kind of vortices of energy, and a lot of people experience things interdimensionally there. And I didn't really know that. I mean, I had an inkling of that. I knew that it was a spiritually activating kind of place, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know where it was, truly. But around New Year's, a few years ago, I started to get a vision of the desert, and I kept hearing the word Sedona. Hmm. So I was like, okay. And I oftentimes, when there's like a significant day, like New Year's or my birthday or whatever, I'll kind of get a vision of like where I'm meant to be on that day. And so people started asking me, what are you going to do for New Year's? And I was like, I feel like I'm going to be in Sedona, but I never really looked into it. It wasn't something where I felt, it was kind of like, I felt like I would just be carried there. Cause I'm often like magnetized to places and it just happens. So I was like, I don't know. I think I'm going to end up in Sedona, wherever that is. And so then I went and looked it up and it was drivable. So me and a friend and another person who I had just kind of met, like, ended up all coming at the last minute. So the three of us went to Sedona. It was snowing. It was, which is very rare in Sedona. So it was just really magical. And we were just so profoundly kind of like in ecstasy. Like we were just so in our hearts and so grateful and so appreciative and just so loving everything and having no plan whatsoever, just letting everything unfold. And we met up with a group of people who are from Austin. They were kind of doing like a circle chant and like howling like wolves. And that always gets my attention.
Wandered over to them. Wolf howling, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, all right. The wolf is very, I'm very much connected to wolves. I'm like, oh, yeah. So,
oh, that's so okay. So cool little synchronicity. I'm gonna throw in today's podcast, which we recorded the daily episode this morning, and it'll be released tomorrow. Whereas this one won't be released for another week and a half or so. But how did we start it off? My co-host Dalian started talking about, instead of saying "what's up, dog" or referring to someone as a cat, "what's up, wolf." So today our whole joke all day on the show and during throughout the day, he'd be like, "what's up, wolf? What's up, wolf?" So it's so awesome that here it is. I love it. There's a synchronicity story within your story. I love it. Thank you. Continue.
Yes. And you know, I'll add into that as kind of an in the moment comment is like, for me, those little things where it's like, I know inside of myself to say a certain thing, but my mind will sometimes jump in and be like, that, why would you say that? Like, there's no point in saying that. And then when I actually go with it and say it, it ends up that there's some reason, like there's something magical about it. So I almost didn't say it.
Yeah. Isn't like, that perfect? I love that.
Who cares if I'm connected to wolves, you know? And it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's perfect. So I love it. Great point, too. And I'm really glad that you kind of added that tidbit, because once again, one of the themes for sort of your whole energy in general that I think is so important to rub off on anyone listening is, you know, just even hearing your story of Sedona, we're just kind of going with the flow and opening our hearts and following where it feels right, so to speak. And I think that is such a beautiful, incredible lesson for anyone to hear and really get. So yeah, thank you for just driving that point home.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like I would imagine that one of the purposes of you asking to share a story about synchronicity is for people to come into more of an experience and kind of an inspiration around experiencing it. And I think mm-hmm. that is one of the key ways is like, and you know, in what I kind of assist people in doing, living led by the heart, it's like sometimes yep. the mind can really kind of want to edit things and block yep. things out that it doesn't understand or that it doesn't see a point to. And it's like when we really, it doesn't have to be something so grand as like going to India or, you know, it's just like in each moment, am I dropping down beyond those thoughts that are limiting?
Yeah.
And that's really how we do it and how we open up into synchronicities. Cause when we're experiencing synchronicity, it could be the tiniest thing. It could be the numbers on a license plate that yep. make our day. Cause it's just like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Yeah. And me, that's really one of the incredible joys of existence is the tiniest things. But absolutely. Back to the grand story. So we met up with these people from Austin and we were kind of, you know, we had this guy had kind of, I use this term that's kind of like an energetic thing that tries to come out in a sound, or you know when people kind of meet and it's like their energy just sucks them to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like zhunk, like people just zhunk up.
Oh, did you guys zhunk up? I'm gonna throw that in with calling people wolf. What the wolf? Yeah, oh, I heard you and that girl zhunked up.
spread that. Yeah, because it's like we're gonna need to develop a new language with this new time on the planet, you know? Like, yeah, we zhunked up.
I love it.
So my friend had zhunked up with a guy in the Whole Foods and he was just like telling her stuff, and he had mentioned a place called Angel Valley. He didn't really mention what goes on there, or at least if he did, she totally forgot because there was so much going on. So she's like, I don't know, but he mentioned a place called Angel Valley. I don't know what that is, but I feel like I want to go there. I was like, okay. But mm-hmm. we were trying to kind of, you know, do the big group thing and all stay together. So we went to this other place and waiting for everyone to gather. And all of a sudden, something just like an awareness came to me as we're waiting there for a while. And it was just like, we have to go to Angel Valley. Like it was just a knowing. And I looked at my friend and we just start jumping up and down. And we're so, it's like our hearts recognized that we really needed to go, even though we had no idea why. And we were just like these two little kids for no apparent reason about going to Angel Valley. So we're beautiful. Like, let's go. And so our other friend, Michael, we're not very grounded at that point. And that's kind of what happens when we're together. But our other friend, Michael, who tends to be grounded, he was looking up, like, how do we get there? Where is it? And me and my other friend, Alyssa, were like looking up at the sky because this cloud had started to kind of get our attention. And it was this angelic kind of energy that was manifesting as a cloud, just kind of like, I don't know the word for it. I'm doing it with my hands right now. How do I portray that? It was just kind of like,
you need another word around. Like jump.
It was angel.
Okay. Fair enough. An angel, a cloud can definitely angel around.
Yes, it was. And so we're just kind of staring at it as it does this for an extended period of time. And then eventually it parts, like it kind of dissolves, and I'm continuing to stare up at the space because I've kind of been taken into like a trance state, and I continue to look up, and it's like energetically, and I said this in the interview as well, it's like my primary kind of intuitive sense at the time, and probably still now, it was not visual. And so it was kind of a unique experience for me because I was seeing this vortex of energy, like these circles of kind of, not exactly circles, but overall it was kind of like these circles that were coming into the center in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was being pulled upward, not physically, but kind of energetically. hard to put into words, but I'm sure a lot of people can relate experientially. And so I kind of asked Michael and Alyssa if they were seeing what I was seeing, and they said no. And I was just like, okay. So I keep staring, and then they're like, okay, it's time to go. So I get in the car, and at first I was driving, but then Michael luckily took over and I was in the passenger seat, and I just had the window rolled down, and I continued to feel this energy coming into me. And, and it just got more and more and more intense, like exponentially intense, of just this like ecstasy in my heart. And I had heard the night before, I was at a like a gong bath, and I kept hearing inside my head, "You are Arcturian, you are Arcturian." And I had only heard of the Arcturians once before, and I was very much, it's like I was open to it, but my mind was definitely not completely open. Like I was very skeptical. And even though I had had experiences, it's kind of like for me, because of my intellectual nature, with all of my kind of spiritual awakening, it's like I had to have really intense experiences over and over and over and over to finally have a tipping point where it was like, I'm not skeptical anymore.
right.
And I love working with people who are like that, because I get it.
Yeah, totally.
And so I'm experiencing all this energy come in, and my mind had kind of said no to the message that I'm Arcturian. But I'm experiencing all this energy come in, and I don't mentally know what's going on. I didn't really relate it to the Arcturians, but I found what came out of my mouth as I'm experiencing this energy was, "It's real." Like I just kept screaming that it's real. And
wow.
Like I felt kind of subconsciously, or not on the mental level, but on a very deep kind of energetic level, it's like I acknowledged what was happening. I acknowledged that there was something greater than what my mind could acknowledge. And there was like a surrender and a willingness to experience whatever was happening. And like, it was an opening. And so first it was like that acknowledgement of like, okay, I can say now that this is really happening. And then shortly afterwards, it's like I got this vision of a little bottle of some kind of like kind of herbal, maybe essential oil mixture or something from some little shop the day before. And it said, "Dear Activated One" on it. And then blah, 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 blah. Wow. And so when I read the word activated, something happened where this energy just like poured through me from the top and came shooting out of my hands. And it was just like, nothing that I had ever experienced before, just this incredible surge of energy. And it felt specifically like it was coming down from the top through my heart and out through my hands. And, so it felt like an activation. And we kept going, and I'm kind of in this deep trance where they're sending information through me, and it's coming out of my mouth. And I don't really remember what it was, but it was just kind of guidance of what to do. And so we get to this place, Angel Valley, which we're expecting just to be a valley. And instead, I'm like walking through the snow and they kind of put me down. And I'm sitting outside, and then my two friends are in this cabin. And the next thing I know, one of them's coming outside and just saying, "There's a woman here who wants to tell us about the Arcturians."
Wow.
And so we go inside, and she's just telling us about how there's a lot of galactic activity that goes on there. A lot of different beings are active, and how a lot of people are brought there by the clouds. And she has all pictures and, you know, like all of stories and pictures about, you know, how people kind of ended up there. And we're just laughing. I mean, the energy is kind of, it's like they let go of me in terms of channeling them, but there was still just so much energy moving through. Mm-hmm. And we were just all giggling and it was just hilarious because it was like, okay, like we're here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yeah, we were planning on leaving that day, but of course we ended up spending the night. We're like, do you have any place that we could stay?
And yeah,
we actually have one cabin for three people.
Wow, of course.
Yeah. So there was a lot that came through that night. I wrote a lot of, you know, there was a lot of kind of guidance and information that came through. And that was really the start of the Arcturian
opening.
Cheers. Yeah. And then shortly afterwards, I have a friend who teaches something called angelic breath healing, where she kind of works with the energy of an archangel during a session. And then people are kind of breathing with that energy. And she shortly afterwards said that she was guided to have me lead an Arcturian activation version of that. And so
wow.
I did so, and it was really, really incredible.
Wow.
And I also, it's like when I was driving back from Sedona, I saw very clearly that Los Angeles in particular, it's like there was a great kind of activation occurring in the city itself and within a lot of people that are living in the city, and how important Los Angeles is as a creative center on earth, you know, and that the energy of what's coming out and being transmitted from here through all the media and everything, it's like the quality of that and the energetic, the energy that's riding on is shifting.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of attention galactically being placed here.
Yeah, I definitely sense that. As I, you know, referenced, I'm a little bit outside of LA and planning to, you know, move much closer and start doing, you know, video production version of this show and everything like that, right in the heart of LA. So I definitely feel that as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, what a cool story. And I definitely can relate to what you're talking about, where you just feel like, you know, I think back to the story I referenced where, you know, it was in a teepee at a festival, all this crazy trance channeling stuff was happening, and the energy, there was eight of us there and we all bonded, you know, by the end of that night, it was just like, oh my gosh, what did we all just experience together? It's like you literally, you know, it was in this teepee, and I always say it felt like we're in a sweat lodge or something. It was like something just, you know, on a whole nother level. It's hard to put into words until someone has experienced, you know, being tapped into sort of this different vibration. And of course your experience sounds even a whole nother level with what you are experiencing. It's just such a beautiful, fascinating type of experience to have.
Yeah. And like, you know, what you're saying, what I kind of picture that as is like, it's like when you go on a trip with a group of people, with one person, mm-hmm. and you like come back and try to describe, you know, what that journey was like. And it's like, how do you put an experience into words? Cause when that kind of energetic thing is happening, you're really, it's like you're traveling into different layers and levels of reality. So that's something like you've just traveled together.
Exactly. So incredible and so inspiring. I definitely feel like I could junk up with you and talk all night, but we've been at it for a while. How do people, Anna, connect with you if they're interested in, you know, in possibly coaching or just to, you know, kind of follow your work and so forth? What's the best way for people to connect?
Well, the Trilevon website is under construction at the moment, but there is a landing page there where people can get in contact with me. So that's the simplest way. So trilevon.com.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Such a wonderful experience. I so appreciate you taking the time to connect and share here with myself and the audience. We'll definitely have to circle back around and do it again sometime. And,
oh my gosh, it's been so great. I loved this. I love talking with you, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do some interdimensional traveling together.
We must. It's a must. I'm not letting you off the hook at all with that. So yes, you're too close and I'm too intrigued. And so yes, absolutely. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been so great.
Well, everyone, that concludes this week's interview episode. If you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.